back. WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We're broadcasting into an alcove. We're at Pappas. Formerly Applebee's.
Yes.
We're eating better in the neighborhood right now. It's Pappas Sports Bar and Grill. Let's put the sign up out in front. We've had an Odell Beckham press conference and an Oriole game in progress here.
Yeah.
There's more people at Pappas in Bel Air right now than there are at the Oriole game this afternoon.
It seems that way.
Most importantly, I have Mickey Cicchelli here celebrating our friends at Window Nation and our friends at the Maryland Lottery. And Mick, you're going to be the first one. I had a $40 winner on opening day down at Fadley's on the Maryland Lottery instant scratch-offs. Mick knows about this. You never pulled the balls. We talked about this, haven't we?
Yeah, I never pulled the balls. I just did the voice of the – I announced them.
Did you say, hi, this is Mickey Cicchelli from 98 Rock and the Maryland Lottery?
Yeah, and tonight's winning numbers.
Oh, did you read the numbers?
Yeah.
Tonight's number is 8?
Yeah.
Three. You did read it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's almost as good as pulling it.
Well, they used to, for a long time, they did the drawing right in the BAL building.
So you just go downstairs?
Yeah, just go downstairs.
Between shifts?
Yeah.
Leave on some Inagata DeVita,
right,
leave
something
on
long.
Something long,
yeah.
Right.
Stairway
to heaven.
Exactly.
We're in Bel Air. Pappas is here now. They brought their delicious crab cakes here. I've been at Cockeysville many, many times. Obviously, Glen Burnie and Parkville, but now in Bel Air. Some people said they didn't know it was even here. And then I gave an APB. I lost a guest this week. I had an esteemed guest scheduled today that's going to meet us the next time we're in Bel Air. And they said, I can't come. And I said, well, I'm going to give a shout out and see what. You know, what do they have? Chumming and trolling is how they fish, right?
Yeah.
I was chumming and
I'm
trolling.
I'm a bottom feeder, so I don't know what you're doing.
Oh, that's right. You, the lure brought you in.
Right, right.
And Mickey, of course, longtime comedian, 98 Rock, and my life for friend. I got an agenda. I don't have a pen. I don't have anything written down here. I do have my Raskin Global gavel. This is going to be my new thing. It's a crab gavel, but it has a beer.
That's a great idea.
Right, okay. But I don't think I'm going to use it. I think I'm going to make it like my BS gavel from now on.
Yeah, bang, bang,
order
bang.
On the court.
Yeah.
Like what Charlie Ecken would call a cab.
Right.
Right.
Call a cab.
Call him a cab.
Right.
Get him out of here.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
So
I love it.
This is my BS mallet from Leonard Raskin. So look, you live in a neighborhood up here.
Yeah.
And you decide to come out today and you're doing comedy, you do your thing. But like, you came into my life at Hammer Jacks all these years ago.
Yep.
And since the last time we got together, the movie has come out.
What movie?
The Hammer Jacks movie.
I'm joking. Yeah.
The one you're in.
Yeah, it's really cool documentary.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I did.
Because I've been waiting to talk to you about this. So when you said, I'll come out and do your show, I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, good. I get to talk to Mickey and hope he's not mad at me for making fun of him in the movie.
No, not at all. I loved it.
I have one scene in the movie, and I pooped on you in a scene.
I loved it. I really did. I loved it. I laughed.
Was it right?
I laughed, man.
It was funny.
It was hilarious.
I said, now look, this is when we had Mickey at Hammer Jacks. This is before he was funny.
Right.
I thought that was good.
It was hilarious. I have no...
Louis called you a flake, and you're here. I want to prove you're not a flake.
Right, exactly.
So screw you,
Louis.
Coming
from Louis, though, that's not very insulting. Yeah.
The confetti or the graffiti?
Yeah, either one. Yeah, exactly. Right.
What are you doing? Give everybody an update. Because if people are going to say, what's Mick doing out, other than the fact that he lives here and takes mercy?
I work for a company now called Green Envy Marketing, which is fun. I do that, but I'm still doing comedy.
What is that? Green Envy?
Green Envy
Green
Marketing.
Green with envy.
Yeah, sort of. I guess that's... I didn't name the company.
Okay. No, okay. All right, so you don't have to make... It's like Four Seasons Landscape.
Right.
You didn't name it.
I didn't name it.
The press conference just showed up there.
Right.
I got
exactly.
You. Okay.
That's all it was.
Would I have been any good at doing morning radio, just like cutting it up and making jokes all day?
Yeah,
not
totally.
Not talking at all about sports?
Totally. 100%.
I don't know, man.
You would have been. You are.
How long did you do it? Did you get out of bed
10
at 3
years.
In the morning?
Wow. Well, 8 years, I think, in the mornings. Six or eight.
This is 31 for me. 31 years of doing this.
Yeah.
Every day. Not every day, but every day consumed with it, right?
Yeah.
And I still love it because I change what I do.
Right.
Like, I didn't know you were coming on this week. It excites me.
Sure.
To get together and hang out with you. It's exciting me today. We're doing a... I'll give a little plug away. We're here at Pappas. Newest sponsor, new location, but we're going to be talking about Chesapeake Feline Association adoption program that they're doing at Adams Jeep on May 6th that I'm a part of and Mike Bordick's part of.
Right.
So we're doing some things, but like this neighborhood thing, I'm still doing tons of Odell Beckham. I've done a ton of Odell Beckham this week.
Right.
More than I want to do.
Yeah.
How much Lamar do you think I've done the last 6 months?
Sure. I get it.
And how much can you do?
Right.
How many phone calls can you take 4 hours a day about Lamar Jackson?
Let me ask you your opinion on that. I mean, he's a special athlete. There's no doubt about it. because I have an opinion. But he's a special athlete. He's definitely the new breed of the way I think that business is going to go. I think guys are going to start representing themselves. I really do. I don't think it's smart.
It's not smart.
It's not smart.
He is a case study.
No question.
For why this is really a bad
idea.
But
I do think ego plays a huge part in that. And I don't say
ego. It does
ego,
for all of us to think we can do things we can't do.
But see, you're looking at ego strictly as a negative. Ego can be positive, too. It can give you belief in yourself that others may not have. But I think that he thought his talent was so great and that he was so integral that they were just going to fall down for whatever he wanted. And there's probably some truth in that because he's still there.
He can make them suffer. All he has to do is take a $32 million hit and not show up.
Right.
They're going to be a lousy football team.
Right.
And he's going to be out $32 million.
But he's not going to do that. We both know that.
Well, they knew that all along.
Right. And that's
Twitter
where,
didn't know that.
Right. But that's where the not smart part comes in. Because an agent knows that going in. An agent knows, Lamar, you're not going to sit out. You're not going to take the $32 million hit. And the team knows it. I don't think Lamar thought the team knew it.
Here's my deepest observation all the way into this, and I haven't heard anybody else say it but
yeah.
me. And I'm being
sure.
really honest. Like,
yeah.
And I'm waiting
yeah.
for this to be the real narrative.
Yeah.
His lack of trust. Dude, you don't trust people. I don't trust people.
Yeah,
we grew up, we're always on the lookout for who's got our back or who doesn't,
sure,
right?
Sure, I mean, of course.
So trust is a, we all struggle with trust.
Yeah.
Unless you're a adult and you just trust everybody. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
We all have to be selective.
I was guilty of that for a while. I wanted to trust everyone. And I got burned.
I used to let people play bubble hockey in my radio station
right.
with my mortgage on the line.
Right.
To appease them.
Right.
We saw how that worked out.
Right.
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 So
yeah.
I hear you on managing people and expectations. But here's where it is for him. His lack of trust and his lack of expertise about how to do the business of the NFL and negotiate.
Yeah.
That is the way you get a $250 million contract is you have somebody that has an astute ability to negotiate that for you.
Right.
He clearly doesn't know that. But in through all of this, his lack of trust was probably deeply seated in being ripped off.
Yes.
He did not want to be taken advantage of.
Yes.
Right? That's
yeah.
because you don't know what you don't know. And if you don't know it and you don't trust it and you don't get anybody else, you can't be taken advantage of, I guess.
Right.
He has been so taken advantage of by Bisciotti and DaCosta. He has been rolled by them financially for showing up and playing. Josh Allen has $153 million in the bank.
Right.
Lamar's going to have $60 in the bank.
Right.
That is a testament to how badly his lack of trust got him rolled.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I don't know if I agree 100%. I think that some of it comes down to, I don't think the deal, I don't think this is all over with, by the way. I think there's a chance he walks and somebody pays him. I really do. I really think.
So play. Tell me how you think this is going to play out. He's not going to show up next week for practice. We know that. So.
But I think that along this way, somebody's going to come in and make an offer, and they're going to take it. And it's going to make them both happy.
After the draft.
I mean, it could be something that happens.
I don't think that's crazy.
It could be something that happens on draft day as well.
I keep wondering whether the team has really wanted him, and I keep saying this. Like, I don't sense that John Harbaugh really wants him anymore or that the team really.
I think the playoff game last year put a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth in that organization.
How's he not there?
I don't get it.
And if I'm Arthur Blank or I'm Stephen Ross or I'm any of these other owners, the first question I'm asking the young man when he comes into my office, if I'm about to give you $200 million guaranteed money, why weren't you with your teammates?
I think his answer, though, is what might get him the money. Is I think he's going to say, I wasn't wanted. I wasn't wanted by them, so I didn't want to be there. Show me you want me, and I'll be the most loyal, dedicated soldier you've ever had. I think that's his mindset. And I don't know if I can necessarily, you know, being a guy that's negotiated contracts, not on that level, obviously.
Right, of course.
But
feelings are involved over $2 an hour.
Of course.
Period.
Of course, of
and
course.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Everybody knows
and
that.
And when you feel wanted or you feel like they're giving you what you deserve, not being greedy, because that's another thing. I think he's smart enough to know. I don't think he's being greedy. A lot of people are calling him greedy. I mean, he's the most dynamic player in the NFL. Say what you want.
But he's been underpaid dramatically for his accomplishments.
Time. Correct.
So the Ravens are over on him. Now, I'll say this fairly. On behalf of DaCosta, who I'm not speaking to these days,
right.
For integrity reasons, you can ask him about his integrity. Mine's intact. but the issue is they chased him for 3 years waving money at him.
Right.
Lots of money.
Yeah.
What they felt was fair market money.
Right.
Not screw you money.
Right.
Legitimately, like Lamar. Mahomes is getting $40 million. We'll give you $38 million. We'll guarantee this. We'll do it
right.
year. He got X. You're going to get Y, whatever.
Right.
No. I got to be top of class. And then the Deshaun Watson thing happened.
Right.
And I think that changed everything for the union. I think it changed it for who's in his ear. And now he is a guy who hasn't played in the postseason in 2 years.
He hasn't
played the end of the season in 2 years.
I think that's a big problem for him, too.
Of course it is.
And I don't know if he realizes how much of a problem that is. He's not a proven winner.
He doesn't have anybody around him
to tell him
the other side
right.
of why everybody didn't fall over themselves to go bid for him.
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
and I think
he's
that's
tweeting
where,
poop emojis, dude.
Right.
He's not.
Right.
We're not.
He's a young man.
He needs an agent.
Right. Right.
Now, listen, by the way, Mickey Coachella, we're at Pappas. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery and our friends at Window Nation. 866-90-NATION. By the way, buy two, you get two free, 5 years, 0%. They didn't give me that deal when I got the windows. Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. So Dennis and I got talking a little bit, about options back in October, November.
Yeah.
And the internet. And as this thing has gone on, teams have found other suitors, other situations to not have a $50 million quarterback where they have to give up a draft or two
yeah.
to do it, right?
Yeah.
Now we're into this space where, like, he has to come back with his tail between his legs, right? Like, that's where we are. How can that be good for him? How can that be good for them?
I don't think it's good for either one, and I don't think that's going to be the final result. I think he's
You think
gonna...
he's played his last game here?
I do. I don't think he's going to play. And strictly because the fans have turned. The fans have turned. And it's sad because I get where his head is. He's the most dynamic player in the NFL. Pay me the money. And the team's like, okay, you're amazing to watch. You know what I mean?
We haven't won anything.
But we didn't win. You know? And I think that's the disconnect with him. In his head, he's the best quarterback in the league. And some would say he might be.
He hasn't played in December in 3 years.
Nestor, you're preaching to the choir.
That costs money.
Right, of course.
That just does.
If you go back to when Flacco got his huge contract, it was off a Super Bowl win.
I'm glad you brought that up because I did bring this up in another segment earlier
yeah.
this week. There's a guy who's one of Joe's representatives. He's
yeah.
a family friend of Joe's. I've
yeah.
known him for as long as I've
sure.
known Joe, right? We're still LinkedIn friends.
Yeah.
And he commented on my LinkedIn. He
yeah.
said, I just want to set the record straight. I'm not picking
yeah.
on Lamar here. But, like, Joe had won
a Super Bowl, an MVP.
11 playoff
right.
games.
Right.
It was, like, a crazy
yeah.
amount of, like.
Yeah. Joe was a winner.
yeah.
I don't like what happened to Joe here. I'm still against that playoff run where they left Lamar in and we got beat. And I didn't understand why they didn't bring Joe in to this day, but they made a decision. And here we are now looking at the result of that decision. You've had a great highlight reel for 5 years, but you don't have a trophy. And I think at the end of the day, people will think I'm insane for this, but I think had Joe stuck around, it'd be a different Ravens past. I think we could have won something more with him. I really do. I don't think he was as bad a quarterback as people made him out to be at the end.
At the end,
he didn't have any receivers.
Well, the issue was a salary cap
right.
issue, which would be the same issue.
But he took
he
took the cut to try to help it.
Well, all that being said, then they go get Odell Beckham. You haven't even commented on this.
Well, because I'm a Beckham fan. I really am. Listen, I love show-offs. I do.
You've been one your whole life.
My whole life. And as long as guys can back it up, I love it for the game. I think T.O., as much as people trash him, that guy was a beast. He was a lunatic, but it was all part of the fun. Chad Johnson is one of my all-time, Ocho Cinco, one of my all-time favorite players. Why? Because it was a game. He realized, I'm playing a game.
But he was good-hearted. Some of these guys haven't been as
good-hearted. No, T.O. was not as good-hearted. He was probably rough on his teammates. I understand that. I'll go to Ocho Cinco.
Beckham's been tough on his teammates.
Yes, he has been. But I do think that he's a crazy talent. I really do. And I think if he's the spotlight guy, he performs even well. I think when the media and the spotlight dims, he dims. And I think if you keep him as a show-off, he's dynamic.
Well, he showed off this, you know, earlier. You came in, the press conference is going on up here at Pappas. And, it's been a while since we've had that, right?
Right.
Deion Sanders.
Right.
I'm just trying to think of, like, Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
Albert Bell.
Have you watched the Reggie documentary on Prime?
I have not.
It's unbelievable. I gained a lot of respect for the guy. I was a fan.
He was such a jerk to me that I can't.
I get it. I understand. But
I've never encountered in all of sports in all of my years, I've never had an interaction that was any less respectful than Reggie Jackson treating me in
that
fashion
in Cooperstown
in 1988.
I met him in Cooperstown, and I saw him do something that I thought was suspect, but I get it. I mean, a kid walked up and asked for his autograph, and he pointed and said, the line's right there. It's $50. And the kid was like 9, and I thought, I mean,
that's
I
what a jerk does.
But I get it.
He's been doing that his whole life.
But there's 100 and some people in line that paid $50 for his autograph. So can he really sign this one? And then
no, but I got you.
So, and when I watched the documentary, we forget, Nestor, we do, that he came up in a time where he had to, you know, it was just fresh off the, you know, get off the bus boy.
Oh, there's no question.
I mean, he grew up with those men, the Willie Mays, the Hank Aarons.
Frank Robinson dealt with that all of his career.
Right,
sure.
And these guys were not treated well. And where
he started
down in the South, I mean,
Hank Aarons, smile on his face, death threats
I mean,
day,
it's right? When you watch this documentary, Reggie's, I think he's humbled a little bit later in his life. I think you'll see it in the documentary.
But he treated me so badly in 5 minutes that I wouldn't give it 2 hours.
I got you.
I literally loved
Reggie
Jackson.
I don't have that personal experience.
I loved him. He was my favorite player.
Right.
So I had that moment at 17 where I got a press pass, and he struck out against Don Ossie late in the game as an Angel.
Yeah.
And I was assigned
to
go down and ask a question.
There's a right answer to this. I want to see if you pick the right answer. Game 7, World Series, you're down 2. There's 2 guys up. 2 guys on base. It's the bottom of the 9th. You got to send 1 guy up to bat.
Dave Winfield.
No, hold on. Here's the choices.
Mr. May.
I'll put Winfield in there. I'll put him as the 3rd.
No, but Steinbrenner called him Mr. May.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's part of, part of the,
But would you pick Reggie or Eddie?
I mean, I'm an Eddie guy.
It's Eddie all the way.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie was, I mean, I loved Eddie.
The most clutch player.
I mean, you just give me, I'm trying to think of, I mean, Reggie's a great answer to that. In any era of any player. I'm trying to think, who would I really want at bat?
I'd take Eddie over anybody.
I would want Tony Gwynn because he'd get on base.
I hear you, but will he put it 390 feet over right field and win the game for you?
Depends if he wants to or not.
Right, exactly.
He's Tony Gwynn.
To me, Eddie Murray, though, is the most clutch, greatest player I ever saw in my life, which will bring me back to Lamar.
Okay.
Because until Lamar proves he's clutch, he's not a $300 million quarterback. He's not.
You're only clutch in January.
But he hasn't done it.
Yeah, that's why he's sitting in Owings Mills or not.
But somebody is going to be dumb enough. There's enough Dan Snyders out there who apparently.
Not anymore.
Yeah, he sold the team.
Yeah.
Is that official?
I don't know. I saw that this morning.
This
was breaking in here on me. Dan Snyder has reached an agreement in principle. That's not, you know, $6 billion to a group led by Philadelphia 76ers co-owner Josh Hare. It will also include a Magic Johnson.
Wow.
Yeah, so I got that.
I mean, look, the league will be happy to see that guy go. I think that guy's the biggest jackass in professional sports.
Yeah.
Hands down. I mean, but there's enough guys that are like that, that are that ego-driven, that want the most dynamic player. Somebody's going to pony up. Somebody's going to say, we'll take Lamar. We'll pay him $300 million or whatever the figure is that he's demanding.
Look, the Ravens brought the circus to town this afternoon with Odell Beckham, right?
Right, right.
I mean, no offense, but like, you sign that cat, you're bringing the circus to town.
Right.
And that really, it felt very out of character for Harbaugh to me.
I don't think that
they would sign up for this, you know?
But I think Beckham's gone through a couple years of humility. I do believe that. I think he realized you can't be a jackass.
Well, in your 30s, you are different than your 20s.
Totally.
And he's paid, and he's got a ring. And
yep.
He's
$15 million is no joke in your 30s.
He's being brought in here to be the veteran voice, like all that. But he ain't getting Lamar's contract done. And quite frankly, all of this notion that we're going to become a passing offense and Todd Monken's going to recruit and we're going to do the and the notion that Lamar is going to come back and play for $32 million, play happily, play well, not get injured under the fact that he runs into linebackers.
Right.
Like, he can get injured, he's a quarterback.
Well, that's the thing.
But all these things have to go right. What's the upside for Odell Beckham Jr. in this offense? I don't know. I mean,
I don't either.
And what's it going to be when Lamar doesn't show up for practice till August 28th?
Well, I think draft day is going to be really interesting.
You think so?
Yeah. I think, yeah.
I'll be watching.
Yeah, me too. And I don't think that Bisciotti and Harbaugh are dumb men. And DaCosta. I think they're very smart men. And if you look, I mean, I think Ozzie was maybe the greatest draft general manager in the history of the NFL. And I think they learned. And I think that they're always three steps ahead of everyone. And they keep that third step hidden. You don't even know what's coming. Did you ever hear Joe Flacco's name?
You never heard Odell Beckham Jr.'s. You never heard Lamar's name.
Right. And
I fell asleep that night, you know.
Right,
like,
yeah.
They drafted Hayden Hurst. It was late. I was tired.
Right.
I didn't go to bed.
Right.
I just literally had the laptop on my lap.
Yeah.
And I, like, nodded off. And I opened my eyes, and there's a purple bird, and there's Lamar Jackson in the green.
I also have never been a fan of the style of offense we've been running. Every NFL team that's had that type of player has gotten caught up after two or three seasons. The defenses are too fast and too strong anymore for that to dominate for a career.
And quarterbacks are too fragile to be taking on 20 hits a game.
No question. And, I mean, you look at guys like RG3. You go back through history. McNabb could throw. But you get what I'm saying. Michael Vick. I mean, these guys were freaks. You'd never see anything
Steve
like
Steve Young had concussions because he ran too much.
Right.
Steve Grogan ran a lot back in the 70s.
But he didn't run like these guys. Tarkington, you could say that too. But, you know, I just think that Lamar, to me, Lamar's the most dynamic quarterback I've ever watched. I mean, it's hard to not watch that guy's highlight reel. It's phenomenal.
Okay. Now, but how are we going to win with it?
That's the whole key.
That's why Monken was brought in here. If you believe their narrative, their BS, and I think they're BS.
Right.
If you believe their narrative, we want Lamar. I love Lamar.
Right.
Love Lamar.
Right.
I don't believe that.
Right.
I mean, I've been around Harbaugh too much to know when he's lying, and I've got him lying in my phone. So I know where it is.
Yeah.
But that being said, if you bring Todd Monken in and you're going to pitch that Lamar's going to be the quarterback, I think Todd Monken took the job. Doesn't care who the quarterback is.
Right.
He's a coach.
Yeah.
You just, whoever you guys sign, I'm going to coach him.
Whoever
I don't
I got
think
the
this
field.
Was. But if we're going to have Lamar, we're going to do it this way, and we're not going to have Lamar. We're going to do it however we need to do it. Now, bringing in a wide receiver and paying him $15 million, you are absolutely. You didn't bring him in to block.
No.
No, I mean, seriously.
No, I agree.
And he's the kind of guy that you only get him targeted six times a game at
$15
million.
You're also, for $15 million, you're not going to be throwing to your tight end 20 times a game either. It's going to change the offense a lot.
Okay, but how's Lamar going to throw the ball 45 times a game?
I don't think he can.
And win.
I don't
think he will either.
You know, people talk. Have you ever thought of Lamar as a great passing quarterback?
No.
I haven't either. And I like Lamar. I like watching him. And I've been a fan. I root for him.
He's not accurate all the time, and that's part of Tom Brady was never errant. Aaron Rodgers is rarely errant.
Peyton Manning.
Now, and can Lamar get it there? Can he say, yes. Did he pass for it? Yes.
Yeah.
But in the National Football League, if you're going to sit him back in the – first off, that's not his skill set, is to sit back in the pocket. It's just not.
Right.
So you're going to have him do that. You've been training.
But not having that skill set, Nestor, is why we haven't seen him in December in 3 years. Because he gets murdered back there. Because he's running all over the place. He's not a pocket passer. And the league and, in my opinion, the defenses that are throwing themselves at you require a pocket passer for the long term. Look who wins Super Bowls.
Well, and quarterbacks,
every year.
When the quarterbacks are in the pocket, they're more protected by the officials.
Of course.
When you're out running wild.
Yeah. But
dude,
there's
I'm
five guys chasing
if
you
I
in
hit,
the pocket.
If I hit you in the head, I hit you in the head. I mean, I'm
right.
trying to tackle your ass.
Right,
and
right.
you're the most elusive creature in the history of the league.
Right.
In the league.
Right.
I've seen the highlights.
Right.
I have to tackle you.
Right.
I have to get you to the ground.
Right.
Hurting you, if that happens, it happens.
It happens.
Because, like...
But I just think when you have a player like that who's... I don't know what percentage would be right. 35% of the time when he's going down, it's past the line of scrimmage. And that's dangerous. For a guy that weighs what? What's he weigh?
Listen, before they threw me out, I sat in the press conference that you sat in before.
Yeah.
And I sat there after that Minnesota game a year and a half ago.
Sure.
And I wrote about this, you know, when
yeah.
Steele threw me out. And I asked a question. I'm a reporter my whole life.
Right.
Your quarterback ran the ball 21 times in an overtime game, and you're playing in 4 days.
Right.
In 4 days.
Right.
And I know you all got your testosterone going, and you won, and
right.
everybody's attaboying, and... I'm allowed to ask the question if that's sustainable.
Sure.
Do you know your quarterback ran the ball 21 times?
Right.
And it's very easy for John, instead of burn,
right.
when you say, oh, we ran the ball 21 times, that's probably not a great idea, you
right.
know? But we did, we won. Yeah, but we're not going to do that every week. We,
right.
We shouldn't be running long. Easy to say that.
Right.
Instead, it's Burr up.
Right.
It's Lamar deflecting a question and asking me if he ran it 21 times the week before. I'm like, the
right.
hell is it? Eighth grade? Where are we here?
But you got to remember, because I think what happens is, Nestor, sometimes, you know, when you expose the white dot in the Death Star gets mad because they're vulnerable. And I think a lot of those types of questions.
Everybody just saw him run the ball 21 times.
I get
as
it.
A responsible reporter.
I understand what you're saying.
Pointing that out.
I understand, but you're
not...
asking why they act like that. It's because you've shown a vulnerability. And, excuse me, you know, coaches, players, owners.
Why do they fear me, Mick? Why? Why do they fear me?
I don't know if they fear you. I just think that a lot of people, and I found this when I was doing radio or doing comedy, when you say things that are so absolute that you can't paint it any other way, it ruffles feathers. There are some things just better left unsaid. I think in a lot of people's
not
minds.
Not in comedy or in radio.
But I think in people's minds. Like, don't ask me this. Don't make me answer this. And that bothers people. And I've always been the guy that's like, look, I'll answer anything. You might not like my answer, but I'll answer it. And I'm not going to get mad that you ask me. So, but I think a lot of people do get mad. It's like, why are you doing this to me? Why are you? And it's.
Why are you challenging my authority?
Right, right. In a sense, I don't know if it's quite that egotistical, but it's sensitivity. Look, you know, John Harbaugh, I had a great relationship with John. I really liked the guy.
He had you in doing comedy.
Yeah, I went and did comedy, most intimidating thing I've ever done in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought John Harbaugh was a great guy. To this day, when I see him...
I did that until he started lying to me.
Well, I never had that relationship with him. But I do think that with any of those guys, Billick, you go down the list of any coach, there's a lot of ego there.
I wrote a book about John Harbaugh's integrity.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Right. I mean, so come on.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I hear you. But I do understand the... Listen, when I was doing the morning show, there were critics. Sometimes it would ruffle my feathers. And I'd feel misunderstood or I'd feel like I was attacked. But then I always had to go back to, this is what I do.
I feel that way.
I'm selling a product.
I have friends and my wife, and
right.
you know, they see these awful things that people
right.
say about you,
right.
and I'm like, I mean,
yeah.
and it always comes back when you get thrown out, when the Orioles win,
yeah.
when the Ravens lose, when people drink.
Right.
I mean, the night the Ravens get eliminated, you should see my mail. I've gotten blamed.
Right.
Right? I mean, like, and you know that. You can't take it. It can't color what you say, or you won't be saying it anymore.
I have a friend to this day. He's my friend. But I know for a fact, because I heard it, the day I was hired to do mornings, he was on the phone with my boss and didn't know I was in the room on speakerphone. And he said, I think you made a terrible mistake. Mickey's never going to work mornings. He's not the... And I just, you know, 7 years later when I quit at number one, you know, I just... And I'm friends with him to this day because that was just his opinion. I don't think he said it to try to get me fired, or I think he just didn't think I was good enough. And at the end of the day, he's got to look back and go, I was wrong. He was good enough.
Right on.
So that stuff never really...
But nobody ever looks back and says, I was wrong. That takes a hell of a guy.
Yeah, no, you're right. Nobody ever does that. You're right.
I mean, look, man, the day I went on... It'll be 25 years August 3rd that I went on radio.
Right,
like, people piss on me about having a small station... My station's bigger than anybody else's, you know.
Right.
And I've done it 25 years.
Right.
And I've paid every bill and every debt, like all of that. But the day that I started the radio station, I was 6 years into radio, seven years into radio, and Nasty Nestor down on, you know, down in Towson, on Down the Dial and all AM radio and all that. And Jeff Beauchamp was quoted in the Baltimore Sun as saying, I would never make it. He ran WBAL, ran 98 Rock, Oriole Baseball, the whole deal. He said that we didn't have the proper resources, that I would never make it. And
I mean,
to this day,
to
this day, I'm telling you about it out loud.
Right.
Because it doesn't burn me up, but boy, did it fire me up.
Sure.
Right? I mean, you talk about something you put on your refrigerator, you put on a bulletin board material.
Yeah.
When a guy who runs BAL and 98 Rock swears to everyone in the only medium that matters, in the Baltimore Sun, tells your sponsors, tells your audience, tells everybody, I know what it takes to run a radio station, and that guy's not qualified.
In all fairness,
that's
I must say,
you don't forget it.
I had a great relationship with Jeff Beauchamp.
So did I. I never had a problem with him.
And to this day, if I saw him, I love Jeff. He was very supportive of me. He brought me over from FM to AM to get into the politics and stuff, which I loved. He was very supportive.
But he didn't believe in me.
What's that?
He didn't believe in me.
Well, I also think he didn't know you. You were a competitor. And Jeff's a very competitive guy.
Well, maybe the guy on the speakerphone didn't know you in the way.
No, he did. That's different. It's different.
You know what? I would have said if was Strauss hiring you, who hired you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Rick.
So Strauss would have called me and said, you hire people for a living, which I did, and I've done successfully and unsuccessfully for years. So what do you think of Mickey? I'm like, does he get out of bed at 4 in the morning?
Right.
I mean, like, because
that was a legitimate concern.
Mickey,
hold
on now. I'm not pooping on you.
I gotcha.
You know I did morning sports before you were on 98 Rock.
Right.
I did morning sports 2000, 2001, for HFS.
Right.
I was, when Graham was in the morning, I was his sports guy for 2 years.
Right.
I used this equipment that I have here in my house in White Marsh.
Right.
And I had to do a 6:50 and a 7:50 a.m. hit.
Right.
It's before I'm married. I'm 31 years old time. Hardest thing I ever did.
That's why I really
was just
laughed.
Getting out of bed.
Yeah, the lifestyle.
Now, I get out of bed at 3 in the morning now. I'm 55. I live.
Right.
I would be the greatest morning show host ever at 6 in the morning, because I am chipper at 6 in the morning now.
Right.
This point in my life.
Right.
But at 31, dude, I would have said about you then, anybody, I said this about Drew. I mean, dude, if I'm going to hire you to do the morning, like, I wouldn't want to do the morning.
Right.
I said that to the guys I hired. I'm like, I wouldn't want to get out of bed at 3 in the morning and come here to do this.
That sucked. It sucked. And that's why they pay you a fortune.
Right.
You know, that's why I made a lot of money. Not now, but, you know, I made a lot of money, and that's what they do. That's the carrot, you know. And it's a miserable lifestyle, especially when you had three little kids.
But all this began with you and I and our ego and superego into believing in you or not believing you. Lamar's got the biggest chip.
Sure.
That there's ever been.
Right.
So does John Harbaugh for being his brother's brother.
Sure.
And, like, you know, all these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, Eric DaCosta was never, you know, he's the quarterback of a small school.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He didn't play at a big school, you know?
Right.
So, like, we're always chasing that thing.
Right.
But in the case of Lamar, there is a point where you hire professionals, you get professional advice.
Yeah, I mean,
and he would have $100 million in the bank right now, and he would be living his best life.
How much do you think his mom has to do with all of it?
I have no idea.
See, I think that's an important element that people aren't talking about. The one person you're going to trust more than anybody in the world is your mother. Right?
And if she tells you not to get an agent, you might not get one.
Right. You know, comes from very meager beginnings.
As do we.
Right. If my mother would have told me not to do something, trust her, don't do this, I probably would have listened. I'm not blaming his mother. And I believe his mother obviously has the best intentions for him. But how much of this is really coming from that part of it?
He would have $100 million more in the bank if he had any agent, any reputable agent.
And he's probably only going to have to pay 1 to 1.5%.
He could have negotiated anything he wanted to, especially after the MVP year.
Yeah, no doubt.
After he's the MVP year, then he could have gone agent hunting saying, all right, I'm into real money here. I'm in over my head.
Right.
There's going to come a point where a smart agent would have sat with him and say, Lamar, if you play this out, you're going to have no leverage to get a deal
right.
other than the teams that are available.
Right.
So take the money. Are you happy in Baltimore?
Yeah.
Yes. Do they love you? Yes.
And let's be honest, a guy like Mahomes doing what he's doing doesn't help Lamar.
At all.
It's sad but true. You know, I mean, there are guys out there that are winning that don't run like Lamar. And you take the run away from Lamar.
We'll see.
What I'm saying? It's like
I don't know what we'll get.
I don't think you get
I don't think
much.
We're getting a $50 million quarterback.
No, I don't either.
I don't think we're getting a top five passer in the league if he's passing.
No, I don't as well.
And you know who else doesn't think that?
Harbaugh.
Every other football talent evaluator in the game, because they all passed on him.
Right.
Because he didn't have an agent. He refused to be anything but a quarterback.
Right.
And if you're our quarterback, we're not going to have you pass it. We have to be committed to Willie Snead as a wide receiver.
Right.
We have to be committed to running back by committee.
Right.
We have to be committed to a different kind of team. And
yeah.
the Ravens completely went all in on him
yeah.
and chased him to give him market money
right.
that he didn't accept.
Right.
Now, he may say it was less than market money. If he were locked in for 3 years for $140 million, that's kind of market money.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're not ripping you off.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they're not ripping you off. You know what I mean?
No.
So.
And look, I think Lamar, an agent, you know, this is the thing I'll go back to. These guys that want the huge guaranteed money, which I don't blame them, because you're one play away from never playing again. But I'll go back to Flacco. He won a Super Bowl and negotiated that night. The next day he was signed, if you remember.
Oh, I was standing. I could
yeah.
touch the art in his
right.
shoulder
right.
from where I was holding
right.
the camera
yeah.
and asking him about it, sitting
yeah.
there in New Orleans with
right.
that poop-eating grin he had
yeah.
on his face.
Yeah. And, you know, I just think at the end of the day, there isn't a lot of there isn't a lot of opportunity for Lamar. It sounds crazy. People go, oh, he's the best thing in the league.
Well,
if he was the best thing in the league, there'd be offers everywhere.
I think the Players Association's talking collusion with him and whatnot. And I would be that could still happen. There's a lawsuit, there could be something down
What's
the line.
What's the lawsuit?
I don't know.
I just don't buy that. I think, again, it's trying to justify why you're not getting what you want. That's all you're doing. So you just throw all these things out there. It's collusion.
Well then what are his options right now? Come back and play.
I think he's going to walk.
You keep saying that.
I just think, he's the most famous name in the NFL probably, next to Mahomes.
Well, he wrecks the Ravens season if he doesn't play, right?
I don't know. Does he? I don't know. I mean.
Well, we don't know who their backup is. We don't know
right.
if Tyler Huntley or not, right?
Right. And you don't know if they draft somebody. I think
are you doing comedy anywhere?
Yeah, this Saturday I'm at Dick's Famous Halfway Inn in Rosedale.
Oh, can't say that at Pappas. What'd you say?
Dick's Halfway Inn in Rosedale this Saturday.
I want a t-shirt from Dick's Halfway
Me
Inn.
Me too. I'm getting one Saturday. I'll grab you one.
All right.
Yeah.
I want to get lubricated at Dick's Halfway Inn. I always make you laugh.
Yeah, I love
you
it.
You think I'm funny.
I still think you should get on a stage one night. All your stories, all that. Just do a night with Nestor. Get up. We'll sit down. I'll interview you.
The stories
you.
I've never told.
Yeah, and I'll just interview you.
We just want to roast my ass.
I promise I won't. I think a night of you just telling sports stories, I think people would love it. I think it'd be fun.
What stories would I tell? What do you want to know?
I mean, I think your history with the Orioles and Angelos is fascinating. There's a lot of stuff there that I think you could go deep into that people
Why
find
wouldn't you do that when you're on my show if you really want to do it?
Well, because it's your show. I don't know how far you want to go on your show. You know,
I have no boundaries.
Well, let me ask you this then. During the heated times with Angelos, were you having fun?
In what? When you say heated times with Angelos.
What I mean is, when you were really challenging and making it obvious what you thought.
All I really wanted him to do was win.
Yeah, but you were very, very critical of the way he ran the team.
Because they lied. They were dishonest. They treated people poorly,
but
universally.
Was pointing some of that out fun for you?
No. Sitting in an empty
upper
deck.
It was painful, wasn't it?
It was awful.
Yeah. See, and that's what people don't get. And that's why I've always defended you and have a lot of respect for you. Because you were...
I wanted to be at the games having fun. I wanted to be running road trips to Cleveland and meeting girls and having fun and and going to playoff games and like being treated well and being around Buck Showalter and being in on it, not having... to not be in on it because he knew how bad it was and he had to put a coat of paint on a pig every day.
Right.
And he was good at doing that because he did it in Arizona and he knew how to do it at the high because he was a team president.
Sure.
He knew how to play the game. So did Dan Duquette. All those guys that took that gig, they knew what a pig show it was.
Right.
And Mike Elias, by the way, I met Mike Elias this week for the first time in my life. Monday. Yeah. I met him at the CEO event.
Right.
And he now gets on stage in front of everybody and admits how effed up it was.
Right.
There was no farm system. There was no...
Right.
But you
got blackballed for saying all that.
So here's the thing that was really... There were so many crazy things they did. They had me thrown out of the Hyatt in Sarasota in spring training. We literally had a reservation for a hotel.
Right.
And we were treated like, there's the water fountain over there.
Right.
Get out.
Right.
We like... Yeah. Like, all of these crazy things that happened. But the thing that nobody remembers that I want people to remember about me and about what we did. They were so pro-DC... about keeping the team out of D.C. That was a really big...
Sure.
And it's amazing because that's what made him rich in the end.
Yeah.
That's where he got all the money. Once he came to D.C., he cashed in on that. Right? Because he wasn't going to... He was in debt up to his ass.
Right.
By the way, I'm re-releasing the Peter Principles this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Thank you for plugging this. Peter Principles coming out this week, every day this week, 11 chapters. The next 11 days, there'll be Peter Principles. So you can go read that. You can... read all of it. And, and all of it is written third person. It's not my story. It's what was happening, what Peter was saying to the New York Times, things that were happening with fans, things that were happening with sponsors and all that. The Baltimore on the road jerseys thing pissed them off more than anything.
Yeah.
And this is a Baltimore guy, a Baltimore radio station, begging to get Baltimore put back on the road jerseys.
Right.
The road jerseys.
Right.
Right? Because every other team, 30 other teams.
Right.
You know, the Cardinals, I think, are the only team that has Cardinals.
Yeah.
Even the Yankees says New York.
Right.
The Red Sox says Boston.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we went on this rampage on the air for years about it.
Yeah.
They MF'd me, threw me out, and then put Baltimore on the road jerseys.
Right.
And brought Jim Palmer downtown to the gallery.
Right.
And every time I'm at the stadium now, and I see people proudly wearing the Baltimore jerseys, the guy who owned the team hated me for years.
Right.
For wanting... How effed up is that?
Well,
I mean, that's it's amazing. That's how far back I go.
You know, I say this with humility in a sense, but I've always said, can you really blame rich men for buying a team off of money that they made that had nothing to do with the sport and then really not understanding the sport or the fan base? Or, I mean, they're businessmen. And... you know, there are owners that become, I believe Steve Bisciotti cares about football. I believe he loves football. I believe he cares about football. He cares about winning. He cares about the city. I do believe that. But there are other owners, and I think Peter Angelos was one of them, who just, I mean, and he's from here, which was weird. But I don't think it mattered
to him. The inner circle of people, and Stedman wrote about this. And if you read if you haven't read the Peter Principles,
I got to read that.
I beg you to. It's as fine a work as I've ever done.
Right.
I'm really proud of it.
Yeah.
I released it 10 years ago. My wife had cancer.
Right.
I'm re-releasing it for people to see because he's at his final stages. John Boy's out, and John has won the family war now.
Right.
Right. It's all out here. The team's fixed or whatever this is.
Right.
Right? I mean, whatever.
Right.
They don't have a lease.
And
they're fixed.
Right.
They're fixed.
Right.
But they don't have anywhere to play next year. But we're not supposed to ask questions.
Right.
Right, I mean, it's insane, right?
No, I got
it. It's an insane proposition.
Right.
But through this Peter Principles, early on, the people around him, and I mean like Lucchino, people have talked to me.
Yeah.
Lucchino, Steinberg, Vaughn, Phil Regan, but more than that, John Steadman, when I went back and researched, I did a lot of research.
Sure.
This isn't off the top of my head. It's a term paper.
Yeah.
None of it's really my writing.
Right.
It's what happened.
Right. It's an
that
account.
The Baltimore Sun is reporting, gotcha. Right? And crazy things he said,
sure.
Lies, all of that stuff that he did. But the notion that, like, back in the day he bought the team, he didn't know anything about baseball.
Right.
I mean, like, he wasn't a fan at all.
Right.
He wasn't piling the kids in the back of the
right.
station wagon.
That's my
he
point.
He didn't know the rules.
Right.
He didn't follow baseball.
Right.
Steve's a fan.
Right.
You're a fan. I'm a fan. Right.
Right?
We would
right.
see it like that.
Right.
He wasn't even...
Yeah.
He was a guy that went to the ballpark on opening day and shook hands with people once in a while. But he didn't love baseball. He had
right.
no association.
Yeah.
Season ticket holder. He never went to games.
I'll give you an example of something. When I was doing really well at 98 Rock, and I mean, this is a crazy dream, but I had this vision of somehow turning it into tens of millions of dollars, or hundreds of millions of dollars, becoming the next Stern, blah, 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 blah. And I wanted to buy an MLS team. I wanted to buy an for Baltimore.
Right. Because
Baltimore is one of the greatest soccer cities in America. And the fact that it doesn't have an MLS team, to me, is staggering.
Steve hates soccer. I know that for
yeah.
fact.
Okay.
I've talked to Steve about
yeah.
this. And remember, they packed the place for...
A bunch of games.
The first one. The first
was
Chelsea.
Chelsea and Man City.
Man City.
No. Chelsea-Liverpool, I think it might have been. I can't remember.
Okay. Ronaldinho came in, right?
Yeah. Oh, that was Inter Milan, I think.
AC Milan.
AC one
Milan.
Of them. Yeah.
The first one.
Yeah.
The first one.
I can't remember which
in.
One was first. Right.
It was a $250 get-in.
Right.
Like, it was
sold out.
No. It was $250 on the street because it was sold out. Like,
right.
It was a serious, tough ticket.
Yeah.
Tougher than any
yeah,
Raven
sure.
ticket had ever
yeah, yeah.
been in that
right.
stadium.
Right. Yeah.
Like, literally.
Yeah.
And it was a friendly on
yeah.
a summer night.
Right.
It was live on ESPN. Ronaldinho
yep.
played. I remember this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw Bisciotti out at practice a couple weeks later, and I said, what do you think of that? And he said to me, it's kind of like a prom. You have it once a year. Everybody will come. But... Yeah, 20 dates, soccer, I don't know.
No, I mean, he's
you
just...
Know, he didn't have a heart for
much
it.
As I love that guy, and he's never been anything but amazing to me, he's just wrong. I mean, and
he
I get it.
He didn't have a heart for soccer.
Right, he didn't have a heart for it. I do. And
he had a wallet for it. He could have funded it.
Totally. No doubt about it. But I don't... I'm almost glad that a guy like him didn't do it.
Because he didn't love it.
He doesn't love it.
Right.
You know, a guy like Ed Hale, he actually loves the game.
It. Right.
And who I have a ton of respect for, Ed
Hale. I love Ed.
Yeah. And he's still going. He's still...
I would invite Ed DeCostas, but I don't want to bother him.
Nah, he would love it. For real.
I'll invite Ed.
Yeah, Ed's great.
Ed knows I love Ed.
Yeah, Ed's great. I mean, that guy... To me, when anybody asks me who I think the best sports franchise owner is in the history of Baltimore, it's Ed Hale.
Do you know Ed took me into Port East and First Mariner early on and showed me on a table this
yeah.
size... Everything that was going to be built in Canton,
right.
the port, the Target. That
Ed's as Baltimore as it gets.
Ed's a visionary. I went about
totally.
This on the air last week about Ed because Ed saw that. I think I told Leonard Raskin about it.
Yeah.
Ed saw it before anybody saw
yeah.
it. Because we were talking about CFG Bank Arena.
Sure.
You know, it was my dream to make WNST.net
big
enough that we could name the arena.
I think that's a wonderful dream.
That was my dream.
Right.
My dream was to own a hockey team. You knew that.
Yeah.
Own a minor
yeah.
league.
Yeah.
That never felt like – that would have been my dream, not the city's dream.
Sure.
To some degree. But, like, CFG Bank, and I'll tell Bill Wedell when I have him on a show in a couple weeks, that, like, having your name on the arena – I told Bill this – I saw Bill Wedell at
yeah.
the Mike Elias thing the other day. And I said, I just want you to know, and I'm not kissing your ass.
Yeah.
Putting your name on that building is a big, big deal for the investment for the city.
Sure.
In a like, that's a big deal.
Yes.
That's a big deal.
Totally.
That makes me want to do business with your bank.
Right.
Instead of Chase Bank or
right.
this bank or that bank.
Yeah.
Like, I like local, and I like that. I mean, I'm going to be down there. Janet Jackson's down there in a couple weeks.
Have
Adam
you been
Sandler.
Since the remodel?
I went to
the
Eagles. Well,
how is it?
Man, we could do a whole segment on this, man.
Right.
It's so different, but it's so the same. There's
right.
a familiarity
yeah.
to it. It's way darker
yeah.
because it's meant for theater. It's
yeah.
meant for, but from the minute you go in, it's dark.
Right.
Like, and it's alcove-ish
yeah.
because they've carved out all the eating areas into these big areas.
Uh-huh.
So the big foyers you're familiar
yeah.
with in the middle concourse, they're gone.
Wow.
Gone. Forever.
Wow.
The big concourse is up on the... above the middle concourse that used to be that empty area where you only
yeah.
peed and went
right.
made out
yeah.
with your girlfriend.
Right. Exactly.
Not that I did that during Black Sabbath in 81, but I did. So, you could sneak up there and do anything you wanted to do in the middle of
college. Yeah, I remember.
I mean, it always smelled like weed.
Always.
Because that's where there were bathrooms and nothing else.
Yeah.
That area now is where you go to get your beer, your drinks.
Wow.
And it's like a Royal Farms.
Yeah.
It's a wall of a cooler.
Right.
And you get a mixed margarita.
Right.
Here at Pappas, they have handcrafted cocktails. You just get a cocktail in a cup there.
Right.
And you check out. It's touch-free.
Right.
It's modern, dude.
Yeah.
But
well,
it's
good.
And then you go into the bowl and you're like, I saw Bruno lose to Billy Graham here, man. You know what I mean? I saw Sean Cassidy shake his ass up there right up on stage.
Yeah.
When I was 16, sick of school.
I'm glad that it's cool, though, again. You know?
I'm going to go back often, early on. I parked in the down under parking for the first time since the Skipjacks.
Right.
Because I drove downtown and I parked.
Yeah.
$35.
I was driving downtown.
I mean, I was at Fadley's both days, opening day, and I mean, I'm bullish on downtown, and I want it to come back.
You think it ever will?
I think the investment of things like CFG Bank, I think whoever the next owner of the Orioles, the next owner of the Ravens, and I mean that sincerely, whoever they are, it can't be a Mr. Big from a conglomerate. And the revitalization of the Inner Harbor is the most important thing.
They gotta
that's
going to
happen here the next 10 years.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah, well, whatever they're going to do with it. That space is going to be the success or the failure
of the city
of downtown.
Yeah.
I truly believe
I just don't know if it's too far gone for somebody to invest into it. And I think if the city
I don't think it has
itself,
to be a mall. I think it can be something else that draws people.
I think you're right. I hope you're right. A soccer stadium.
Mickey Coachella, he's still funny.
I try.
Kind of.
I try.
He is playing at a place that I can't say on
Dick's halfway in.
We were the station with balls. We can say anything we want.
Right.
When we
exactly.
did.
Right. No doubt.
That's why Mars Supermarket never sponsored me. But I got Wise Markets now, so we appreciate them. Mickey's here on courtesy of our... Did I give you a lottery?
No. You started to five times.
Well, I didn't want you scratching in the middle of the show. And
I'll scratch
dude,
right now.
Right now, you can win 10 grand. If Mickey wins 10 grand, you would get up and leave if you won 10 grand. You'd be in Bimini.
I would buy you dinner.
You give me back my press pass. There he goes.
I'd do everything to get
these have been really lucky, Mick. I've been giving these out.
I can't even
also
see.
Brought to you by friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. 5 years, 0% financing. If you mention Mickey Coachella, formerly of 98 Rock, and always number one in my heart. You know, I gave a shout out and said, will somebody come and do the show today? And Mickey's like, I live 5 minutes away. I'll be there.
Yeah.
So here we are. So Mickey's here. We're going to have great guests. Natalie's coming over from the Barry Club here in the area. We're also going to have friends of ours from the Chesapeake Feline Association. Barry Glassman, former Harford County executive, is going to be here. Justin Wendell's running around. Tim's running around. This is as empty as I've seen it here, man. Place is crazy packed. Pappas in Bel Air. It used to be in Applebee's. It's right here in the Greenbrier.
It's my fifth time here in a month. I love it.
You get the crab cakes?
Yeah.
You had the little minis.
I had the little minis today. Yeah.
You like?
You know what I love here?
You feel like you're going to be skinnier if you eat mini crab cakes? Or
no,
or
I'm
big
fat.
One?
I don't care. But what I love here are the lamb chops. You had those?
No.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to get them.
They're incredible.
All right.
Yeah.
They get a little mint side? What is
yeah, they got mint and like a, I don't know what you'd call it, like a chutney or something as well that's absolutely delicious.
All right. I'm going to tell the whole Pappas. He's talking up the lamb chops. He says the lamb chops are good.
The lamb chops are awesome.
We're going to step out, take a break. Mickey, please come back and do this more often.
Definitely.
You?
Anytime, buddy.
Got the whole Pappas family here. Yeah. How are you? You want to sit down and do radio with me? I got to get your headset in order to do that. Well, Justin's going to be in here in a little bit. Tim's going to be joining us. I'm going to break. We're...
Yes, the lamb chops are amazing.
Lamb chops.
Thank you.
He says it's the lamb chops.
I love the lamb chops. So good.
It says crab cakes on the door. It doesn't say anything about lamb chops on the door.
I'm telling you, the lamb chops, I'm not kidding you.
If I spend $20 and come see you tell jokes, are you going to be funny?
Well, I won't let you spend any money, but yeah.
What's the funniest? What's funny now?
I'm doing things that nobody wants to do. I'm talking about the things.
You do Polish jokes again?
No.
No.
But like, you know, politically... You know, I'm doing things that people are scared of, that they don't think they can talk about anymore. And people are surprised at my take on a lot of things. Anything from, you know, the current president to the past to the trans activism to whatever it is. I have an opinion on everything. I've never been afraid to express them. And
how do you do comedy? Do you write on note cards?
I've never written a thing in my life.
How could you train me to be a comedian if you don't have a
technique?
Well,
first of all, you're a great writer. You're a phenomenal wordsmith. So you know how to do it. You're just afraid to do it. That's what it comes down to. You're afraid. And that's that part I can teach you how to deal with. I can't teach you how to write, but you're a great writer. So you're 10 times the writer I am. 100 times the writer I am. I might be 100
but
times the performer.
To be funny, I'm funny like when I'm
that's all comedy
ad hoc
is.
Funny.
That's all comedy is. And then when you combine those two, that's what comedy is.
I feel like such a clown. Louis Anderson really, really, really was going to help me out. He
Dude.
Honestly,
yeah.
Like, you have offered to really help. I mean, you're, like, good at this.
Yeah.
You're the funniest guy I know. I say that all the time.
I appreciate that, man. I really do.
I've gone to one comedy act the last year. I could have gone to see, what's his name, down at the Lyric, Chris Rock.
Yeah.
Or excuse me, Hippodrome.
Yeah.
Chris Rock. Did you like that?
I did. I liked it. Yep. You didn't?
So when it started that night, my wife had had a rough week at work.
Yeah.
And she was looking to laugh.
Right.
And, you know, I don't watch movies. I don't.
Right.
You know, I don't. I watch baseball.
Right.
Orioles right now. It's 7-7 in the sixth. I've been keeping an eye on it.
Yeah.
So I'm right here. That night that we put it on, it wasn't the live night. It
right.
was a week
sure.
later.
Right.
She got Netflix and all, whatever,
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
whatever it's on.
Yeah.
She's like, hey, let's watch some comedies. Chris Rock. All right. And then we saw that, who's the beautiful Chelsea Handler?
Yeah.
I have such a mad crush on her.
Yeah.
She did my show in New York, but
right.
I didn't do it. Clark did it. And,
right.
Like, but she was at my table. I have a picture with her.
Yeah.
And I didn't know her comedy, but she's funny
sure,
to me.
Sure, she's a funny lady.
She's funny to me, right?
She's a funny person, I
yeah,
should say.
Yeah, she's funny
lady.
To me, right?
Right.
She's funny. So these were the two options that night. And I'm like, well, put Chris Rock on. I mean,
yeah.
like, you know, let's go with it. And right as it started, my wife hates when I make her stop in the
right.
middle and pause.
Right.
I, like, I have to feel
yeah.
and emote,
right.
you know, talk about it.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I was with Mickey. You did the show at Costas maybe about 4 months ago.
Right.
No, it was 6 months ago.
Yeah.
It was September.
Yep.
7 months.
Yeah.
7 months.
I know.
It's like old friends. Let me get together, right?
I know.
7 months ago. And you said to me that day, you can go back and rewind.
Yeah.
You said that comedy's different when you're home. And you can laugh without anybody looking at you.
Sure.
Then if somebody's making an off-color joke or
right.
something that's just raunchy
yeah.
in a theater when you're liquored up or whatever,
right.
you're looking to see who's looking at
right.
you laughing. And I would think it's different at a joke club than it is in like more of a theater. I would think it's different when it's
oh, yeah.
black and white in a city like Baltimore where the comedian's white or black or white or black or you know, whatever
of
race.
Of course.
When race is involved.
Everything plays into it.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're there, and I said to her, this is different with Chris Rock being here because you and I can break balls, laugh, say whatever
sure.
we want, stand up. Dude, I watched the first 20 minutes, and I didn't even come close to laughing.
Right.
I wasn't in, like, and it wasn't like I wasn't in the mood to laugh. I'm
right.
like, maybe I need people
right.
next to me. Maybe I need the discomfort of some of the things he was saying to make it funny, but I didn't laugh. Then we put Chelsea Handler on for 20 minutes. And I laughed a little, but
right.
it wasn't funny enough to stay with it. So
right.
now I'm 45 minutes into it, and I'm like, sweetie, I love you. I'm going to bed.
Right.
And
right.
she sat on the love sack there and probably watched comedy
yeah.
on her own.
Right.
She didn't laugh either. And I don't – this is bothering me. Like, if we were going to do another hour already, and we've already done an hour,
yeah.
I would tell you that, like, I'm worried about – I want to laugh. And you make me laugh. And you didn't make me laugh as much the last time.
Right.
As you usually – I'm not laughing as much as I used to laugh. And I don't know why.
I'll tell you why. Because the world's a lot more serious. And the world's a lot more angry. And listen.
I had my career taken away, so I'm pretty pissed off
listen,
right now. You know?
I mean,
yeah, I am.
The world is angry
yeah.
right now at a million things. Change is happening at a very rapid pace. And nobody really knows what's right or wrong anymore. Nobody really knows what's going to be next. It's how far can we push the extremes. That's where we're at right now. What's going to happen is somebody's going to come along and set everybody straight. There's going to be a backlash to all of it. And when that happens, things reset and people get the motion slows down a little bit.
Who do you find funny? Like, I've never seen the Manilasco guy. I've never, you know.
I like Sebastian Maniscalco. I like him. I like... It's a little too one way for
what
me.
What would you pay to go see?
Bill Burr.
Okay.
I love Bill Burr.
Okay.
I love Chappelle.
See, I would have paid to see Lewis Black 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I love Lewis Black.
And Lewis Black's been, like, I love,
yeah.
love Lewis Black.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even pay to go downtown because I was afraid. Like, I watch him on Facebook, and I don't laugh anymore.
Right.
And he's doing his rants, and he's reading the fan mail.
Right.
And I don't know why I'm not laughing.
I just...
Because he makes me laugh like you make me laugh.
Right.
And I think you're the two funniest guys that I know.
That's very nice of
you,
man.
I'm serious, man.
Thank you.
I mean...
Well, come out Saturday, if you're not doing anything.
Am I in town?
Rosedale.
Who goes to Rosedale anymore?
I'm going Saturday.
I'll go.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks for having me on,
bud. I love you, man.
I love you, too,
All
bro.
Right. Mickey Coachella. God, you brought me down, Mick. I can't.
I didn't bring you down.
Laugh.
You're the one that said it.
All right. I'm having crab cakes. I'm at Pappas. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'm giving these out. I'm going to have a long, extended break here. Everybody's getting one in the bar of the legal age. Please gamble responsibly if you're out there. Win the Nation, 866-90-NATION is the way to do that. 5 years, 0% financing. And it's the 50th anniversary of the Maryland Lottery. And I'm with friends.
Yes.
Thanks, man.
Always a pleasure, bud. Thank
Come
you.
Come to Bel Air, as Coach Buzz would say. You get Mickey Coachella.
Got it.
Back for more from Pappas right after this.